Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to America. Yes, we're back for another night. And look at that. Hey, the world didn't end. Wow. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me double check all my notes here. Okay, CNN, world's going to end. MSNBC, world's going to end. Oh, that's weird. They were wrong again. We got a lot to get to in the show today. In fact, after the next hour, we'll start with David Peter Allen. He's a writer for RailwayAge.com, and he has a really good opinion on the loop trolley, someone that pays attention to a lot of railway issues around the United States. We'll have our friend Paul Cook from our sister station Y98, a little friendly wager we put on the shootout between Jordan Binnington and Justin Bieber. That'll be fun. But to start this hour off, and yes, we're going to talk World War III in a moment, I wanted to get our friend from Harris Dowell Fisher & Young, Brad Young. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
My pleasure. You know, you'd asked me to do this yesterday, but I really didn't think we would all be alive today. So I really wasn't planning on having to talk to you, honestly. I thought the world was going to be over.
How embarrassing. I know. Everyone was out there acting like it was their last day on this planet. Well, not everyone. I mean, you watch the major news networks. They made it sound like this is it. Yeah, over and over again.
I bought 500 packages of ramen noodles. I don't know what to do with them.
You went to Costco and got the...
I stocked up on ramen noodles and baked beans, and now I'm like, honey, you kids, look, this is what we're having for the next 2 months.
Yeah, what was it at Costco? It's like 50 pounds of mac and cheese in a bucket. That's what you ended up grabbing. Okay.
The best food always comes in a bucket, okay?
Okay. Well, KFC would say, yes, that is true. The best food does
that's
come
true.
In a bucket.
Well, that's true. That's
true. Fair or dangerous, there's this article from NBC News, and it talks about New York having some second thoughts on cutting out on their bail system. Here in the city of St. Louis, this is a major debate. You know, what happens if you're waiting trial? And some say it's, you know, it's very much affecting the poor and, you know, we shouldn't have to ask for bail. And a lot of people look at it as it's like a class warfare going down. And what's interesting about it is a lot of times you see these coastal cities, very liberal in the way of their thinking, adopt something that they have, you know, what they think are good intentions. Then what ends up happening is it backfires on them. And I think some of these cities starting to implement this are starting to see it. And I wanted to get your take on the way the system is set up and the way some cities decide to handle this.
Well, first of all, what I think that a lot of folks don't understand is what we've been seeing here in St. Louis City and County, whether it's with Kim Gardner or Wesley Bell, we think it's a local issue, but it's truly a nationwide trend. And so what we've seen and what started on January 1st of this very young year is that in the state of New York, there's no bail, no cash bail. Unless it's a violent crime, there's no cash bail. But what's interesting is here we are on January the 8th, and politicians in New York are already coming out against it. Even the Democrats who supported it are coming out against it because of the obvious thing that any person could see would happen when you just willy-nilly let people go with no skin in the game. You let them go with no bail, other than being what's on their own recognizance. And people go out and commit more crimes, and it looks bad for those who are advocating this new bail-free system. It's what's happening in New York, and we're going to see that happening more and more locally as well.
Yeah, we've seen issues like that before. And sometimes, even in the worst-case scenarios where someone will be out, they'll go commit something like murder. And you go back and you look at it and you say, well, could that crime have been prevented if this system was in place? And the answer would have been, if the system was in place, that crime very likely would have been prevented. And you know, what's interesting, too, about the way the cash bail system works, they make it sound like it's all racially motivated. The courts are up against trying to, like, you know, it's some reason, it's like a big conspiracy against, you know, people of certain races. And that's not what the system is intended for. In fact, it's the way that they try to frame their arguments a lot of times. They're trying to play on the heartstrings of racial diversity, but really it almost does the opposite. What it ends up doing is it actually hurts the cause for the sake of, you know, people out there that are trying to run the system the right way. Do you know what I mean? That might sound a little confusing.
Well, I do. I hear what you're saying. And here's a great example of how I think individuals are injured. One of the cases in New York, fascinating case study. What happened already this week, we're only 8 days in, but a woman was arrested for assaulting Jews with obvious anti-Jewish fervor. So she was assaulting Jewish people because she was anti-Semitic. They arrested her. She was released without bail, and she was out for 1 day, and what did she do? She assaulted another person of Jewish descent. So you end up hurting the people you're trying to protect under the guise of saying we're trying to create racial equality. But really, you're harming, there's a disproportionate number of people who are being harmed, and that's people who are also perhaps minorities or low income, because these folks who are being released with no cash bail, no incentive to come back, they're released on their own recognizance, they go out and commit new crimes, and more often than not, those new crimes are going to be against individuals that you are ostensibly trying to protect.
You know, I wonder about the way the system is set up now, and you might have to help me because I don't spend a lot of time in courtrooms. And I know you're not always doing things like this, but you might have a pretty good indication. So if someone is accused of a crime and they go in front of a judge, it's part of the hearing. Does the judge have the ability to set no bail at all? Like, how does that system work?
Well, first of all, there's a recommendation from the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. So the prosecutor can make a recommendation regarding bail, but bail is set by the judge.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened, though, is as states have, and we're seeing this in New York on a statewide level, where that discretion is removed from the judge, and the judge cannot impose bail unless there are certain criteria that's met. In New York, it has to be a violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's one case where a bank robber has been released already in New York, and he's already suspected of additional crimes. It's only 8 days into the month.
Yeah.
So it didn't take long to prove that experiment is going poorly.
Mm.
But in the local area, there's not really state laws on that particular point. So what's happened is that the prosecutors are now making recommendations against bail, and the judge is free to accept that recommendation or go against that recommendation. But the pressure right now on these judges is to eliminate bail, and to me it's checker playing mentality. In other words, they're looking one move ahead, not three, like you would in chess, and ultimately at the end of the day, this is not going to reap the benefits that it was intended to reap.
So though there are recommendations, the judge has the final say if they're going to issue bail or not. So in
correct.
Cases like this in New York right now, their hands would be tied. They're not allowed to, regardless of what happened, or irregardless, I should say. But here, like in the city of St. Louis, there could be recommendations. The judge could look at the individual case and say, we're not going to issue a bail. If that's what the judge wanted to do, that's what they could do here.
Correct. That's exactly right. But in New York, that's what the all the fervor is about, is because now, again, just 8 days into it, we see Governor Cuomo, we see New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, and even the head of the New York legislature, all three Democrats, saying that the law needs to be changed after a week and a day.
You know, the sad thing here in the city of St. Louis, and when you look at the prosecutor's ability to make recommendations, you could admit to shooting and killing a child, and you will not have charges brought up against you by the circuit attorney. So that's part of the problem here. You know, we're not even at the point where they could recommend bail. That sometimes they don't even take on these cases when there's some very serious crimes being committed.
Well, and you're seeing the other ramification of that kind of mentality. It was announced, I believe, yesterday that the chief trial assistant in the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office, her name's Rachel Smith, she's resigned. She's the fourth senior trial assistant attorney in the last 3 years. She's the fourth. Well, they're turning them over very quickly there. I think that the approach of the circuit attorney's office has a lot to do with that revolving door now. And if you can't get good people in your office, again, that's going to make the matter worse, not better.
So over the last couple of weeks, you spent a lot of time in this studio doing some late night work. How'd it go for you?
Oh, it's a blast. You know, what's amazing about the KMOX audience is that it's so informed, and you get folks calling in, having excellent points, asking great questions. One night I was filling in and I was talking about having a discussion about whether you can post and the legalities of posting reviews. And in one particular case, a doctor was suing someone because of their posts. And immediately a doctor called and talked about people who were posting online reviews about him. You just don't get that with any other radio station.
Oh, I know. I love it. You have any other days you're going to be coming in soon? Maybe some overtime dates?
I don't know. Are you feeling ill?
Right now, no. But, you know, this time of year where the temperatures go from hot to cold to hot to cold, I feel sluggish. The whole body feels like it's fighting against the elements. It's a terrible time of year.
No kidding. But I will be in tomorrow morning on overtime. And anything after that is based upon, again, how you're feeling there, buddy.
Brad Young from Hairstyle Fisher & Young. Thank you for spending some time with us here on Overnight America.
My pleasure, Ryan. Good night.
Brad's awesome. You should go back and listen to some of his shows from the last couple of weeks at KMOX.com/ONA. Posted in the podcast section right there. We were looking over that article from NBC News. Fair or dangerous, days after ending cash bail, New York has second thoughts. Worth a look and a precaution here in the city of St. Louis. Don't handcuff the ability to put away some offenders. Don't handcuff that ability. A lot of times the discretion of the judge could look at it and say, all right, this isn't something that is perceived to be a danger. But when you got someone out there committing some crimes, maybe you need to take into consideration the person's track record and all these other parts of the person's record and let that judge make that decision. Maybe that's for the best. Let it be a precaution. Let's not turn into where we're just going to start saying, okay, you commit a crime and there's, you know, you're just going to go on out, do whatever you want to do. And, you know, maybe we'll see in the future. Maybe we won't. Who knows? All right, last night, if you were to watch the major news networks, CNN, they were salivating, and they were like Mr. Burns and The Simpsons. They're like, excellent, watching the coverage of everything going down, thinking, oh, this will be it. We got it now, World War III, we're going to nail Trump. You know, and they were just making this into this big, giant movement that turned out to be nothing. So as of right now, it seems like we've actually de-escalated things more than we've escalated them. And it's a step in the opposite direction of what they were expecting last night. But the doom and gloom, man. So let's look at a couple of the comments from President Trump earlier today. And a lot of people are disappointed this morning that we're not taking a physical response, that we're not going out there and immediately responding with force. You may be one of those people. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories online right now of the Ukrainian plane that went down yesterday. So we followed and tracked all of this live on the air as we were waiting to see if the United States was going to respond, if President Trump was going to make an announcement after the attacks from Iran in Iraq. I wonder, with all of this morning, I wondered how many people would be disappointed that the response was not going to be physical. And I got to be honest with you, when yesterday you hear the news and you see that they attacked a base in Iraq and you knew Iran was responsible for it and you knew that they were doing this and they were trying to provoke. And my thoughts on all of this yesterday was the smart thing to do if there were no American lives lost, the smart thing would be to not follow up with more drone attacks. And that's what the president did this morning. But my gut feeling, the feeling inside of me, the one I was thinking about, just the way Iran has acted and they continue to act, I wouldn't have been bothered if there was going to be some physical force. I would have looked at it and said, you know, they had it coming to them if that's what the game they want to play right now. It wouldn't have bothered me. In fact, I don't think it would have been the smart thing, but I wouldn't have blamed them for doing it. And when listening to the responses to how we handled Iran last night, and how the president addressed the nation this morning, I got to say, I was impressed with the way that President Trump addressed in the speech he gave. I was impressed of what he was going to do next, you know, greater sanctions, blah, 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 blah. That, to me, is just it's putting the Iranians into a position where they know that this is as far as they can go. Do we, you know, again, this is just my gut feeling on all of this. I don't like the idea that Iran knows where that line is and they could walk up to the point of bombing bases and then there's no repercussion for it. I don't like that either. So that's why if there was some sort of physical force on the way back, I wouldn't have blamed the president for doing that. I want to take some of your calls on it, and I'm going to play some clips from President Trump. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Before he could even get into his speech, he started.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
It should never even have been on the table. There's no way that anyone should allow those maniacs to have one. So he continues with his speech.
I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything.
Yeah, and they say there was a warning. It may be that the Iraqi soldiers that were there had a warning. I don't know if they were the ones to tip it off, shared intelligence. I don't know if it was satellite imagery. I don't know if they could just see the pieces in motion, knowing that the attack was imminent, and that's how they were able to prevent casualties. But either way, next step.
Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well.
The early warning system. So he ends the speech.
Finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve. One of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it.
Willing to embrace peace with all who seek it. It wasn't that long ago, last year, that there were some indications that Jared Kushner was trying to negotiate some peace with Iran. I don't know how you would ever be able to have peace with Iran. I really don't know. How is that even possible? I don't think it is. It's just not. Is there any indication that there ever will be peace? And I think when people were watching this, they didn't exactly know how we were going to respond, but knowing that the response was the next morning, they knew it wasn't going to be something that was of serious, grave danger for all parties involved. World War III did not start. Stocks rose. And some politicians are very upset with the briefings that they're getting. Are you relieved that there's a no response? Are you relieved that there is going to be a de-escalation in this case? Or are you a little bit disappointed? You don't have to play it up. I'm just curious if there's anyone that's disappointed with the response by President Trump today. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It doesn't mean things are just going to magically be good between these two countries. They were far from that. But this is just the latest step. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
A lot of missteps by the news yesterday. And I wanted to give credit, and yesterday I did, to CNN, at least at the very start of their coverage. They had Erin Burnett. She was terrible when it came to breaking news. Oh, was she so bad. They handed things over to Anderson Cooper. He actually did a decent job of covering the events as they happened, except when he brought on, you know, other reporters with what's his face. Doesn't matter. But they moved on. But CNN, for whatever reason, I saw this online and I had to watch the video of this because I couldn't believe it for myself. They invited on as part of a commentator. The person's name is, and I'm going to say this incorrectly, Massama Eptkar. And I watched the segment online, and then you find out about this person. Was the VP of Iran, wanted to kill American hostages in Iran, using her to talk about, how bad America is in all of this. And why would CNN bring them on as a commentator? That's a good question. And I wanted to play this, too, from CBS News. And a lot of people are pointing to the fact that there was this attack. Just a couple hours later, a plane goes down, 63 Canadians on board. And they're saying, maybe it's not a coincidence. Maybe this was just we knew we were going to fire some missiles. We knew that we were going to basically hit nothing. No one would get hurt. But then we'd be able to use that as an opportunity to hide something else, another act of terror, in this case, shooting a plane down out of the sky. Let me play this from CBS News real quick, because there's a lot of people giving that conspiracy. And you know what? There's a lot of credence to it.
It crashed minutes after takeoff. Flight data abruptly silenced as the plane was climbing towards 8,000 feet. It happened just hours after Iran fired rockets into Iraq, prompting speculation something could have brought down the plane. Holes in some wreckage at the crash site drew comparisons to damage done to the Malaysia Air flight that was shot out of the sky over Ukraine 5 years ago, prompting questions for Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Can you say categorically, one way or another, that the plane was not shot down?
I cannot. It is too early to speculate.
And part of this is Iran, since it happened under their watch, who I think would be the lead investigators. And then on top of that, they're not releasing the black box, so we can't really hear what happened there. A lot of shadiness going on and a lot of consistencies of this thing getting shot down, even though they say it was an accident or whatever it is. So lots of people throwing that out there right now. And there's also a lot of reason to believe that maybe it wasn't all about this one attack on a military base. Maybe it was more than that. A lot of people also upset that we're not actually doing anything. Yeah, go ahead, slap some sanctions in Iran. That's it. That's all you're going to do after they tried to kill American soldiers? I mean, that was their intention, wasn't it? Why else would they be throwing these missiles that way? Or these bombs, I should say. Let me take some of your calls. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. And let's go to Kurt first, who's calling in. Hi.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to, I'm not a big Trump supporter, but I am very happy with the way he handled it today. You know, I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. It depends on what's going on and this and that, but I'm glad we're not in World War III just yet. And I hope he can keep his cool and do the best he can. But if they keep doing it, I hope we kick their ass.
Yeah. So tell me, if that was the reaction from President Trump and you like that sort of reaction, if the opposite would have happened, if he would announce this morning that we are going to continue taking out certain people inside of these terrorist organizations, you would have said that's the wrong reaction, or would you have just been neutral to that?
I would look at it. I would have been neutral.
Okay.
You know, because I know what he's trying to do. You know, like I said, I'm not a big Trump supporter, but I believe that as America, we got to stand tall. And I'm glad that we're not in World War III tonight. You know, we might be there tomorrow.
Did you think we were going to be there by this time last night? Were you someone that believed we were headed that way?
I kind of was cautious, but I thought it might happen. You know, when I turned on the news this morning, I was expecting some bad stuff.
I see. All right. I think a lot of people were trying to figure out what was going to be the next step there. Hey, Kurt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, bye. All right. So, has been critical of President Trump, but for some reason, today, I think he may have won a lot of people over in the sense that they believe he made the right call. Let me go to Robert, who's calling in. Hi.
Yes, Ryan. I've been a proponent of, you know, just, I mean, getting the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And the real story from like Trump, he was asking why Iran got hundreds of billions of dollars back. Mm-hmm. Well, it was because during the Obama administration, the nuclear deal was set into place, and if they would follow, they allowed people in to look at their sites and their generation of nuclear fuels, mm-hmm. For power plants mainly. Mm-hmm. But if they followed that for like a 10-year period, they would get their money back. Mm-hmm. It was held in like almost hostage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was their money. And that was part of the nuclear deal.
Okay. So go ahead. What's your comments? It's just basically tracking the money?
Yeah, I mean, Trump has been saying that, you know, I don't understand why we gave them hundreds of billions of dollars back. You know, not back, but, you know, gave them billions of dollars back. It was their money.
Yeah.
They followed the rules.
Okay. So let's say we look at this deal that was made between them. Don't you think some of that may have been negated if there was another president in, like President Trump, that said, oh, well, if you're going to keep bombing or taking over oil rigs, or if you're going to start trying to bomb ships, or you're going to kill American soldiers, or you're going to harbor terrorism, if you're going to spend money on terrorist organizations, that could have been negated. I feel like easily that could have been negated. We shouldn't have to honor that with people that are actively trying to kill us.
Well, and that's true, too. But then... you have a reason to make Lake Iran, you know, put a hole in there so big, you know, nuclear explosives to, you know, put a hole so big mm-hmm. they can't live there for the rest, you know, it might kill a lot of people, but it sure will make it an example.
Yeah. Well, it could make them an example. The thing is, we've done nothing for the most part. But it does. We should be able to say, if there is a country that hates us and commits acts against us, acts of war against us, going back decades and decades long, the answer shouldn't be, well, you followed one thing, and there we're just going to be friends all of a sudden. We'll ignore everything else. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't like the situation, but it was the deal that was calculated up by a bunch of bigwig, you know, higher ups.
I feel like that deal was immediately off the table as soon as they committed their next act of aggression or war. I feel like it doesn't matter if they went to that one thing.
We had already gave them back their money.
I know.
And then they never stopped.
I mean, even during that interim period, as if they ever stopped those aggressions. Never the case. I mean, it's been constantly happening.
Well, and they're always bugging their neighbors.
Always. Yeah. All right, Robert, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
So there's Robert calling in. So far, Kurt called in and said, yep, he's actually pretty happy with the way things turned out. It could have been a higher escalation, but instead, some experts like to use that term. There was an off-ramp that the president took, and he's glad that he took it. I think a lot of people are feeling that way, too, even Mitch McConnell.
I believe the president wants to avoid conflict or needless loss of life, but is rightly prepared to protect American lives and interests.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people wouldn't have blamed him. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line. Or 800-925-1120. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. Are you relieved today? Are you relieved tonight? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. 314-436-7900. 7900. You can call or text that line. Let me go to Gary, who's calling in. Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Hi. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just got three quick questions, statements, whatever. One, everybody talks about World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Who would, you know, World War III, World War II, World War I was a bunch of countries. I don't see very many people backing them up, for one example.
Two. Wait, say that again. I'm sorry, I missed your point there. Say that one more time.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out. You had the Russians and Germans with all the other world wars and everything else. That who's going to back up that country?
Who's going to back up Iran? Yeah, good point.
Right.
All right, so, okay,
so
I see what you're saying.
World war there.
Okay, so what else you got? I'm sorry.
And second of all, why should Trump respond to those missile firings when it reminds me, personally, I apologize, of a MASH episode where a general dies? And they take them out to the battlefront and start bombing the place.
Hmm.
So it's a big celebration.
Hmm.
So why should you bomb them?
From a MASH episode? Okay.
Yeah, it's a MASH episode where a general dies in Margaret Houlihan's tent.
Mm-hmm.
And his aide takes him out there and orders bombs to fly out there because he wants the general to go out in glory.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe President Trump saw
hilarious.
That late night.
I advise you that.
Okay, what's your other point?
And the other point is, he did a good job to stand down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, if they're just playing games, he's not going to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Democrats want them to say, oh, you need to talk to us, you need to talk to us. He's only got a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't worry about Obama given time when with Bin Laden and everybody else. So let it go.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Gary. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So who's backing up Iran right now? Good point. I would like to know. Let's go to Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, I thought Trump handled everything absolutely perfectly. And, I was wondering what the GOP guy from Wyoming was so mad at Pompeo about, the defense secretary. Could you talk a little bit about that, Brian?
Are you talking about Mike Lee from Utah, or are you talking about someone else?
Yeah. And I knew it was somewhere out west.
Yeah,
he said it was sophomoric and the worst press conference you ever had by a defense guy. And
yeah, so
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, they do that briefing in private, so it's not something you'd see in public. But yeah, Mike Pompeo addresses Congress and he gives him like a briefing of what's going on. And Mike Lee came out and said that was one of the worst military briefings he's ever seen. He was pretty upset by it. We don't know exactly what was said. We don't know what was presented to them. All we know is Mike Lee's upset. That's all we know.
All right. I get it now. Okay.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yeah. Go Trump.
Yeah. Mike Pompeo, when he addresses and lets them know, like, here's the 411, will address, you know, Senate intelligence leaders or people that are on certain committees. In some cases, they'll address all Congress just to give them. And a lot of times it's classified information, but they need to be able to stay on the up and up in case there is some sort of vote so they can be informed, a vote that could lead to war. So I get that. But if he was not impressed with the presentation Mike Pompeo gave him, all it does is add sort of credence to the people that are yelling and screaming, like the commentators on CNN right now, saying that there was no reason why the Trump administration had enough to take out this terrorist. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing the people that are apologetic to this Iranian terrorist. It's unbelievable. And some of them are in the media and they're on television. And what they do is they say it's not enough that this person was on the terrorist list dating back to the Obama administration. It's not enough that this person is known to have tortured, killed Americans, and continues the active war path to kill Americans. And that's their MO. It's not enough. They say, oh, no, this person shouldn't have been taken out. Give me a break. You know, if you're the number one terrorist in Iran, I don't know why you have to have sympathy that he was taken out. I really don't. But CNN will do anything they can to spin this in a way to get people all riled up, just like they tried to spend most of last night trying to prove the point that Donald Trump's so reckless, he's going to get us into World War III, and he's going to make things worse. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here we are this morning. No apology, of course. No backing up to it. They just have to find a new way to spin it. Let me get to Mike, who's calling in. Hello, Mike. Hi, are you there? Oh, I don't hear anything. Almost sounds like deadly silent, doesn't it? Let me see if I can put him on hold real quick. Let me try this one more time. Mike, are you there? See, I don't hear anything. Let me put this on hold just in case. Producer Mike, maybe you can check in with him real quick and see if he's there. But I think that line might have went. So if you're still there, Mike, and maybe things are going a little bit weird with that line, you can give us a call at 314-436-7900. Let me read this text message. Am I the only person that finds it odd that no Patriot missiles were deployed during last night's attacks? Nobody has asked that or even brought that up. Patriot missiles were deployed during... I don't know what you mean by that. Maybe you'll have to explain that to me. I'm not familiar with what you mean. There were a lot of other reactions last night. You know, even the Iranian foreign minister.
We did not start this process of escalation. The United States waged an economic...
Oh, don't give me a break. Did not start this. Yeah, you're taking that reset button very literally, aren't you? The one that the Obama administration reached out to you and all of these different people that have all a long track record of aggressions toward the United States, its people, its military. Give me a break. I don't even want to hear the rest of his statement. Here's Senator John Kennedy.
We got to get the facts. It may be, I'm not saying it is, but it may be this is Iran's way of saving face. I know Iran is under enormous pressure. Their economy last year contracted 10%. It will probably contract 20%. They know they can't go toe-to-toe with America in a war. We don't want a war. It's very simple what we want from Iran. Stop trying to kill us. Stop trying to kill our friends. And you can't have a nuclear weapon.
Stop trying to be savages and cut it out. You know, we're talking about a country that has no shame in using women and children as human shields, using them in a way as props for their own terrorist acts. Netanyahu had a few things to say on it, too.
The challenges we face are not declining. Quite the opposite, in fact. But we stand resolute and strong against them.
Yeah. And let me go to Steve, who's calling in. Hello, Steve.
Hey, you will never win the public swing when you make a preemptive strike the way that President Trump did. And I'm totally behind it 100%. If FDR had attacked the Japanese Pacific Fleet on December 6th, 1941, everybody would have said he was a warmonger. If somebody would have taken out Osama bin Laden, if George Bush II would have taken out Osama bin Laden on September 10th, of 2001, everybody would have said he was crazy. You have to do these things preemptively, and it takes a lot of guts to do it. I'm not a huge Trump supporter. This is not, but I am a former military person, and I realize it's much easier to put out a fire when somebody strikes a match than it is once the house is burning.
Oh, very good point.
You got to take this stuff out.
Thank you, Steve. Good to hear from you. Let's take one last call from Bill. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We only have about 30 seconds.
Hello?
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I was calling in regarding the text that you had received about the Patriot missiles.
Right.
I think the gentleman was trying to refer to our missiles that would shoot down their missiles before they hit the ground.
Oh, like the our counter defense to missiles.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Kind of like how Israel has the Iron Dome, you know, something like that.
Yeah, they have been used before in past little conflicts. I don't know if they're called Patriots.
Oh, okay.
We shoot them up there to shoot down the Iranian missiles before they hit the ground.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Good to hear from you.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, they didn't mention what retaliatory action, if any, happened. You know, that's a good question. All right, coming up. In the next hour, our guest, David Peter Allen, he writes for RailwayAge.com and a really good opinion piece on the Del Mar Loop trolley. We'll ask him about that next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.